While you're looking for your weird shit, I'm going to tell the class a story.
Class.
Hey, class.
You can't shout. You're maxing out the whatever that's called. I don't know the terms, but you're maxing something out that shouldn't be maxed out.
Who cares?
My story for the class is me and Liam were supposed to record at 11:30.
Chase, this isn't a story. This is just an outright slanderous statement.
You haven't even heard it.
I already know what it's about.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I do.
So we were supposed to record this episode at 11:30 in the morning today on Wednesday, May 19th, 2021. And Liam texts me asking if we could do 12:30. Sure, no problem. I have nothing to do. I'm just hanging out. I've already started my day. I've already did my workout.
You know what, Avery?
I'm searching for jobs.
I had been awake till 4 a.m. because I worked late.
Please don't interrupt the story.
And I had a phone call this morning. Please don't interrupt.
So I arrive at Liam's abode 10 minutes early. I'll give him that. I was early. And I come in and all the lights are off. And I'm like, oh, where's Liam? And Liam, where were you?
I was asleep.
He was sleeping in his bed.
My alarm.
10 minutes before we were supposed to record this episode.
I realized I had set my alarm to 12:30 a.m., not 12:30 p.m. Which also, now that I'm thinking about it, doesn't make sense either, because then I still would have been asleep when you came here.
You set your alarm for the time we were supposed to start recording.
I guess so. I'm just realizing now. Perfect. So regardless, I would have been asleep.
And it's now 1:30.
It's 1:24, and I said 1:15, and I was 2 minutes behind
You said 12:30, and then when I woke you up from your slumber with your sleep mask.
I was at this table.
With your sleep mask on, you said 1:15, which you didn't even make that time.
I did make that time by almost 2 minutes off.
Anyways, welcome to episode 16 of Two Servings of Fruit. I'm Chase.
What is this, fucking NPR? You sound like Ira. Some guy named Ira. Ira Glass. Because that's a real person, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Pretty sure.
It's a terrible name.
Yeah, I know. And that's why he's on NPR.
Anyways.
Burn.
That's Liam.
I'm Liam.
That's him.
Yeah. Had to kill a fly today, and I accidentally took way too long to kill it.
Yeah, Liam he went to kill this fly, stuck in his blinds, and then he accidentally ripped its legs off, and it was, like, freaking out.
I'm sorry.
Pain, terror. Then he killed it.
That's honestly going to stick with me today.
Yeah. Nightmares.
Poor fly. Yeah. I'm kind of tearing up a bit.
Rest in peace. Anyways, today's a very exciting episode.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We have a very special guest today on the podcast.
Guys.
Give us a drum roll.
Oh my God. Well, how can I fucking give you a drum roll when there's foam encapsulating me right now?
The foam helps the sound. Okay, I'll do the drum roll.
That was me doing the drum roll.
I didn't like that. So I'll do a proper drum roll and you can announce it. Okay, ready?
I hate that drum roll.
This drum roll is better than yours.
Nina West.
We have Nina West on the podcast.
I just want to say kudos to us for getting some really awesome people on this podcast. And none of them really, like, I don't think realized that they were coming on this podcast. It's a self-read. It's okay.
I think they're just very generous with their time.
Yeah, and love supporting small local businesses.
Yeah.
We're local.
And we are definitely small. But before we get to that, it's time for Weird Shit of the Week.
It's time for Weird Shit of the Week! Week! Cue jingle.
Welcome to Weird Shit of the Week,
You know what we should do? One time, we should do like a whole acapella, like an actual just acapella song, like Pitch Perfect. Maybe I'll watch Pitch Perfect 2 today.
Is there a third Pitch Perfect?
I feel like there was, right?
Have you seen it?
I don't think so. It's called Last Call Pitches, I think.
Ew. No, I think that's just a slogan. That is not what they called the name.
No, it's Pitch Perfect 3. Last Call Pitches.
Oh, okay. At least they had Pitch Perfect 3 in there. That is horrendous.
I did not see that.
I think that's just a promotional poster. Look it up on IMDb. I don't think that'll
all
be in the name.
All of them say Last Call Pitches.
I don't...
It does say just Pitch Perfect 3, but like all of them, all these posters say Last Call Pitches.
That's the promo they went with, and that was a choice, and that's probably why neither of us have seen it. What's your weird shit?
Oh, I get to go first. Thank God. Florida woman, 28, allegedly dressed as student at Miami High School to promote Instagram account.
Oh my God. What?
She faces charges of burglary, interference with an educational institution, and resisting an officer without violence.
What did she steal?
I don't know what she... I think burglary is like breaking and entering.
Oh.
Or like, you know, like invasion of the home.
Oh.
Or a property. I guess similar to trespassing.
But I thought burglary was when you break and enter and then you steal.
I don't even know. Either way, the school was advised of a, quote, potential threat on campus when she allegedly refused to leave, but then she left through a side door before she could be stopped. Really awesome. Her name is Audrey Nicole Francesquini.
Does she have, like, a large following?
Francesquini?
What's her handle?
I don't know how to pronounce her. Francesquini? I think she's Italian.
What's her handle?
They didn't promote it. Oh, wait, maybe they did.
Wow, there's a link. They didn't even promote her handle.
No, the link just takes you to other articles that have Instagram.
Oh my God, that's so funny. You know the one thing she'd want from this article is her Instagram handle to be shared, and they didn't do it.
That's her mugshot. She's a little cheeky in that mugshot. She's like, oop, aha, I did it.
I can't. I literally cannot find her socials anywhere. So.
Maybe she got banned. Either way, she was handing out flyers to students promoting her account while wearing a backpack and carrying a skateboard and then recording her interactions on her phone. I'm sorry, but why don't you just throw on a sideways baseball cap and say, yo, kids, how's it hanging? Like, a skateboard? Really? A skateboard and a backpack? Fuck off. No one's going to believe you. Everyone in high school, like high school is, you recognize all the faces. They're going to be like, who's this new bitch?
She also doesn't look young.
And she's handing out flyers.
With her Instagram?
Yeah. There's literally like, she watched Scream 3 and was like, this is what it's like.
I've never seen Scream 3.
Scream 3 was a good one, I think. Scream 2 was the one that's set on the movie set, and then Scream 3 was the she's back in town. And then Scream 4 was she's back in town again. Like, what? Leave. Just don't come back.
I don't think I've seen any Screams.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
No, I don't
think I have. Nev Campbell.
I know Courtney Cox is somewhere in there.
Scream 4 is, yeah, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, that's the movie they met on.
Oh, Scream 1. Love.
Courtney Cox is the reporter, David Arquette's the cop.
And they're still in love today.
They're divorced.
I know. The Friends reunion's happening.
I don't care.
I don't have HBO Max. I just need to express my disappointment because I thought it was going to be like an episode of Friends, like where they're all playing their characters. But I think all it is all the actors just getting together and talking.
Wasn't that what most reunions are?
Well, I don't fucking want that.
Lady Gaga's
gonna be there.
I want
to see where Ross and Rachel are now. Are they still together? How is Emma? How's
Who's
Monica
Emma?
And their kid? How's Monica and Chandler? What's Phoebe up to? Where the fuck is Paul Rudd? Those are the things I want to know. And I won't get any of that. But Lady Gaga will be there. So points for that.
That's going to be awesome, yeah.
My weird shit of the week is... it's from The Mirror.
I hate the United Kingdom. If you're British, stop listening.
That was a joke. Don't stop listening.
You can make fun of Europe. That's fine.
So the headline is, petty woman travels 6,000 miles to remove love lock from tourist attraction.
Hey, they cut those off all the time.
She traveled from LA to South Korea just to cut off her lock that she had her name on with her ex-boyfriend.
Honestly, I like that.
Me too.
I feel like that's not even a petty thing to do. That's like a self-love
thing.
It's
a spiritual thing.
It is. That's like eat, pray, love.
I just thought this was interesting because I think it's amazing and I've been there
to that spot where she was at.
Yeah. All the locks at Namsan Tower, I think it's called, in
cool.
South Korea.
Cool. Just wanted to plug the fuck into South Korea.
I have been to South Korea. I'm
He's
a man
saying
of the
wants
world.
To plug it.
I'm a man of the world.
More like you're a woman of the underworld.
Thank you. Would you do that? Would you travel all that way to cut off a lock?
Well,
if you had the money and the means?
Yeah. If I had the money and the means, I would do a bunch of stupid shit all the time.
Like what?
Like what? I'd start like the just really bad businesses. I think. I'd start a lot of them. Just stores that sell only, like a soup restaurant.
Bad businesses?
I don't think it's bad, but I don't think they'd go very well. But a soup restaurant?
Just soups.
Yeah. Huge soups.
There's a lot of people out there. I feel like soup has a cult following.
Oh, my God. I should start a soup podcast.
Yeah. So I think soup is a very niche thing. And some people are so obsessed with soup. And then some people hate soup. I like soup.
I'd also do an adult Chuck E. Cheese, but not a casino. An adult Chuck E. Cheese. It's more wholesome.
A kid told me recently that they named it Chuck E. Cheese because it forces you to smile when you say it.
Chuck E. Cheese? You can not smile when you say it. Chuck E. Cheese. So it's not that hard, kid. Dumbass.
Anyways, that was Weird Shit of the Week. Thank you for listening to Weird Shit of the Week. So today's special guest is Nina West. I almost said Nino East, but that's not her name, so I'm glad I didn't. We have Nina West, who we will be talking to shortly. But first, let's just talk about Drag Race. Do you like Drag Race? Do you hate Drag Race?
I don't hate Drag Race, no. Not at all. Why would you insinuate something like that?
I asked if you like it or hate it. Why would you insinuate it? So I insinuated both, and you get to pick which one is true.
I'm just feeling really defensive right now. Just kidding.
What else is new?
I think the first season of Drag Race I watched was when it came out on Netflix, and I watched season 8.
Oh, so you were late to the party.
Yeah. Well, okay. I wasn't late.
That's late to the party.
It's... Fuck off.
There have been 13 seasons, and that's the last half. Yeah, not even.
It wasn't that big around then. It wasn't huge. It wasn't on Netflix. And even when it came on Netflix, I feel like is when it really got... large following.
So 8 was your first season?
Yeah. 8 was the first season, which was... Bob. I honestly genuinely thought Kim Chi won that season. I thought I heard someone tell me Kim Chi won.
I'm so happy Bob won that season. Spoiler alert. Bob won season 8.
Yeah, Bob was great, but I really wanted Kim Chi to win. And I also thought Pearl... And then I went back and watched season 7, because I think then they started... I don't know how they did it, but anyways. I watched season 7, and I was also like, oh, I remember hearing Pearl won. And then again, Pearl was in the top 3. I was like, no. She wasn't. That's right.
She was in the top 3. Yeah, I know. You're right.
Oh, wait. She was?
Pearl, Violet, and Ginger Minj.
Ugh, Ginger Minj.
Ginger Minj I didn't like on 7, but I liked her in All Stars too. Anyways, I started watching Drag Race. I saw part of season 1. I remember thinking it was so dumb. I just couldn't get past the filter, the Vaseline filter.
Oh my God.
And so I never...
Vaseline filter. Did they film it on literally Vaseline covered film?
Good one.
Thank you.
So I didn't watch all of season 1. I have now, but I started watching again season 4, and I used to watch on just the sketchiest websites on the internet. I watched 4, and I've seen every season since. And then I was so excited when I got Crave in Canada.
Oh, because they have it?
Yeah. All the new seasons I can just watch real time now. So that's nice.
I have to wait till they come out on Netflix.
You haven't even seen season 13.
No.
So should I not talk about the winner? It was a really long season.
Yeah, I heard. It's kind of funny. Is it over?
Yeah.
Oh, yo.
We have a winner.
Who? No, don't tell me. Okay. Don't say it.
I won't say it.
Great. My first introduction, truthfully, to Drag Race, actually, was if you have lived in Canada and used to watch MTV, when The Hills was still on, they would used to do this Hills after show with this woman named Jessie Cruikshank and Dan Levy, the guy who made Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
And they would just talk about The Hills, and it was just a fun, silly show, but they'd also do other weird things. MTV Canada used to have a couple of these talk shows that were just on sporadically, MTV Live, also a really great show. Love that show. Anyways, they used to do this after show, and one of the episodes was all about Drag Race when it just came out, and Jessie Cruikshank was talking all about how she's really into this show, and she's describing it, and I'm first of all, 10 years old, and I'm no idea what drag is. And then she's talking about the show where these men dress up as women, and it's called RuPaul's Drag Race. And I was what the hell? I thought when I heard the name, I was so do they race cars?
I think you mentioned this on our drag episode.
Oh, did I? That's funny. Double whammy. You get to hear it twice. Yeah. So nice to hear it twice.
I really fell in love with the show season 6. That's when I became a little obsessed with the show. And I was obsessed with the show for a long time. I think I still watch the show, and I watch all the iterations of it. You have UK and Canada and Australia. I haven't seen Thailand or Holland, but I've seen the others.
I'm sorry. Thailand and Holland?
And Spain is starting.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but RuPaul only does Australia, UK, and...
There's Australia, too?
US. Australia's just started, yeah.
Okay, yeah, see, it's like too much. That's too much for me.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like it is too much.
It's way too much.
Like, the amount, I keep seeing memes that was like talking about how, like, if you don't think COVID is long, these are all the Drag Race seasons we've gotten. And it's like season 12, season 13 of America. We've gotten All Stars 5. We've gotten Canada. We've gotten Holland. We've gotten UK 2. We've gotten Australia. We got Celebrity Drag Race, where they put celebrities in drag.
No way.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It's a lot of Drag Race.
I'd love some new gay reality content. If WOW, like the company, WOW, or World of Wonder, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If they want to, you know, expand, I'm all for it. But don't
it's oversaturated
horizontally.
I mean, yeah, it's just a lot in a short period of time. Like, the fact that they, like, All-Star 6 is rumored to be revealed soon and it'll air this summer. I don't need an All-Star season every year.
I know, how is it All-Stars? It's just, at that point, it's just Drag Race repeat.
No, I usually enjoy All-Stars. It's just like, when they first did it, they waited 4 seasons to do it. And the first All-Stars came after season 4.
Which is even almost too, like, All-Stars needs to be, for me, when I think of an All-Stars cast or something, it's like every 6.
Yeah, well, I was okay with 4, and then they waited another 4 years for it to premiere, but 3 years to film it, because they filmed it after season 7, and it premiered after season 8.
All-Stars 2 was great.
That, I feel like the 4-year model worked well, and it was, All-Stars 2 had, like, a crazy fucking cast, like, everyone on that cast was an All-Star.
Yeah.
And then 3 happened. I think I might have to fact check. I think it was might have been 2 years after. And
was that Trixie?
Yeah. And that had a great cast again. I didn't have any issues with that cast. I had issues with how that all turned out. Like, they had weird formats.
Oh, the lip sync?
Well, when it came to the top 4, all the eliminated queens came back and they voted for the top 2.
Is that how? Oh, that's right.
That's not how it works. It's only like that on season 3 of All Stars.
I like how Trixie won. I think
Trixie. I like Trixie, but it should have been Shangela. Anyways.
Shangela was there 3 times.
She didn't even make it to the top 2. She killed that season. Anyways, then they started but doing it.
You better kill it by the 3rd time.
Yeah, but Trixie didn't really do well.
I thought she
Trixie
was...
knows she didn't do well. She talks about it all the time.
I love Trixie Mattel.
Yeah,
I heard
like
she's
Trixie.
A bitch in real life.
Really?
I have heard that.
Should I email her? Ask her to be on the show? Anyways, and then they started doing it every year. Like All-Stars 4, All-Stars 5, and now All-Stars 6. And I'm like...
God.
And if you look at All-Stars 6, like All-Stars 5 at least had like... Did you watch it?
No.
It had like Shea Coulee, Jujubee, Miss Cracker. Like those 3, kind of the end of the list of big names, but...
I like Miss Cracker.
Yeah, I like... All-Stars 5 was okay. All-Stars 6... So many people have said no. Like, if you look at who's said no.
Oh, really?
It's, like, big names on the show. Like, Gigi Good, Nina West, Kim Chi has said no, like, for 5 times in a row now. Like, she doesn't want to do it.
Kim Chi's like, no.
Yeah, I just don't think she wants to come back. So, I'm a little nervous about the All-Star 6 cast, but whatever.
We should be on. I've never done... Well, I've never done drag. No.
We should just audition.
For Drag Race Canada?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. No problem.
I think there are... Already done filming it.
See you there.
Did you watch Canada?
Nope.
Canada was pretty good. It's just like, the thing about Canadian shows is they always have a lower budget and it always shows.
I know. Except for Big Brother Canada, which is...
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says, Big Brother Canada is the best Big Brother.
I would say, like, I agree with that now, but, like, historically, I don't know. But anyways, we'll get into that in a couple episodes because we have someone on the show.
Well, if you take it season for season, I still say Big Brother Canada has a 100% track record.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. Did you hear about the controversy with Drag Race contracts?
You told me about this one time.
There's like a lot of stuff coming up about Drag Race contracts and about how much money the queens spend on the show. Like, people are like, this is how much it costs to go on Drag Race. And I'm like, no fucking shit. Like, no shit that all this stuff costs so much money, which presents problems in itself. But anyways, the contract says, I think what, and this hasn't been confirmed. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it like it's the truth.
We love speculating and talking as if it's a fact. I
love responsible reporting. Anyways, it says that they can be called back for any 5 seasons after their season. And they can't, technically says they can't say no. But as we know, people have said no. So I think the producers are just not evil dicks.
Yeah, they're not going to enforce that.
Yeah, and like people, if they say they aren't ready, then they aren't ready. But then if they come back for All-Stars, then the contract they signed for All-Stars says they can be called back for any 5 seasons after that. So they're just in a loop of... contractually having to come back to RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, I wonder exactly how much of what's on the show is property of World of Wonder and how much of it is intellectual property of the queens, too. Because,
yeah,
you know, like, can Alyssa Edwards commercialize or monetize back rolls?
I think they can, because queens make merch and sell stuff with, like, the catchphrases on the show all the time.
And in the same vein, can World of Wonder?
Probably.
But that brings up an interesting side story that I heard recently, which is a real thing that happens in, like, reality TV in general, is, like, generally speaking, you can't just walk out. Like, you can face penalties. That's why they don't really have people leave, even if it's, like, really shitty. Or sometimes people still do, and they don't really enforce it, but it's kind of just, like,
yeah,
they're going to be pissed. But there was this show in Taiwan or China, I think. It was a singing show, and it was, like, a voting show, and there was this Russian guy on it who everyone thought was just, like, a cute guy. Cute guy. And he was, like, begging people on the show to not vote for him. Like, he's like, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I can't leave. Like, my contract, they'll charge me if I leave. And he's, like, begging people to fucking vote him off. And every week they were just like, we love his attitude. Like, it's so, like, we love his, like,
what is the show?
It was like a singing show, and he'd literally be singing shit on purpose, and then they'd still vote to keep him.
Oh my god.
Because he had, like, fans. That's, and the fans evil. Were like, no, stay.
That's kind of evil.
Isn't that fucked? And that he literally is. Couldn't leave because he'd have to pay, like, $200,000. And he couldn't, wow. He didn't have access to his cell phone because, like, again, for reality shows and stuff like that, you're not really,
yeah.
You don't really get
sequestered.
Yeah. So he was like a prisoner to a reality show. Like, that's Black Mirror shit.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
See, if you think Drag Race contracts are bad,
at least you're not on
that
this.
Bad. Adore Delano quit All Stars 2, right? Mm-hmm. So at least we know that they're not, you know, that insane.
Yeah.
And talking and, like, thinking about, like, the amount of money people spend on Drag Race,
it's insane.
It also reminds me of just how different the show is now. Like, people just bring designer shit and put it on their bodies.
Yeah.
And obviously the makeup is still them and the wigs are still them mostly.
I think they're involved in the creative process, of course, but I do think, yeah, a lot of it is about how much money can you spend.
The show was so great in the early seasons because they had to sew so often. They had to make their clothing out of literal trash,
yeah,
or
funny.
Fabrics they provided. And that was, like, fun to see. And it wouldn't always be the most amazing runways, but it was a true competition, like, difficult to do.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, I was given this before the show because I already had this many followers on Instagram and I told this designer I was coming on the show and they want me to wear their clothing.
I do think that's also a newer phenomena still. Like, I don't think that is even, like, if you go back,
I would say the last 3 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say so, yeah. Probably since
maybe 4, 10. Maybe Aquaria.
That's when it started,
you'd say? I would say that's when it really started to become, like, what...
apparent.
What, yeah, like, what looks can I bring? And that's when I started to see on Instagram, like, Aquaria wore this from this runway. I don't know if she did, but, like, you know, a queen wore this, mm-hmm. and then you would swipe and it would be that on, like, a fall runway from New York Fashion Week.
Or, like, it'd be, okay. Like, sketches, or they'd talk about the designer they worked with.
And it's, but, like, I mean, even that is a little bit better, because, like, at least you're talking about, what's the word,
the process,
yeah, like, the creative process, and you're coming up with this idea and working with this designer to execute it. Okay, still a little,
even then, it's
still, like, a little unfair to queens who aren't awarded that opportunity, but at least you have, like, a creative hand in that, right?
I do think that's why you see so many New York queens, is because New York is so, like, capital of all that shit.
Yeah, but then some queens,
so pretentious.
And I can't remember who the designer was.
New York is pretentious.
But do you remember season 12 when Gigi Good, the first or second episode, she, like, did a lip sync with, like, this green sparkly and, like, a helmet, black helmet thing?
Mm-hmm.
That look, I remember after that episode, was just pulled straight from the runway.
Oh, really? I thought her mom, like, made
her mom didn't
shit.
Make that. That was from a designer.
Oh, really?
I can't remember the designer's name. Very nice outfit. I thought it was super cool.
It was.
She didn't help design that. That was from the runway.
Didn't the helmet. Big head. I know. I have a big head, too.
So,
can't wear a helmet. I don't really go bike riding too often, because if I wear a helmet, it's like, yoink. You know what I mean?
So anyways, I just think it's an unfair advantage to queens who can't afford that.
Yeah. Is Drag Race elitist?
I would say that is pointing to it becoming more elitist.
Whoa!
Is that a big deal?
No, I don't think so.
That's not a big... I don't feel like that's a big claim to make. We just spent 10 minutes talking about these queens who bring things and have money. Obviously, that's a little elitist. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You could say bless you.
You could have fucking waited until I was done my sentence.
It's a sneeze. I'm
sorry. Hold it in. Say cucumber... Spell cucumber backwards. See? If you had to sneeze, that would have snapped you right out of it. I don't think
that's true.
For me all the time. When I'm about to sneeze, I say in my head, R-E-M-M-O-L-U-C.
I'm not the R-E-M-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-M-O-E-
More, they do like one or two sewing competitions a season. And the fact that the U.S. is now these queens who have big followings who bring designs in, it makes seasons of now these spinoffs like Canada and Australia in particular that I've noticed this look a little bit cheaper because the queens are still making things. And the, you know what I mean? Like they're not as huge. Mm-hmm. And then you get comments online about how like it's a boring season and no one's turning these amazing looks because they're making everything they're wearing.
I do think people really emphasize the looks. Like people who watch Drag Race are really into like, I think that's why they started doing like a ball so early, you know?
Yeah,
the ball challenge. Like a four, like three or four looks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I love that episode.
I like the ball. I like too. Seeing the looks.
Yeah. Like all of them, I'm like, ooh, nice. And then other times I'm like, ooh, that's nasty.
I like the ball. I like Snatch Game.
Snatch Game. I like the roast.
I like the roast.
What's your favorite challenge?
I would say the challenge I look forward to every season is Snatch Game.
Yeah.
I think that's what most people, just because it's fun. Usually Snatch Game, there's at least one person who's fucking hilarious.
Who's your, what's your least favorite challenge? The Rusical.
The Rusical.
The Rusical or... the sister family resemblance challenge.
Oh, I like the makeover challenge.
I hate that one. It's so boring. They're like, this girl cannot walk in heels. What am I gonna do?
It's even especially more ridiculous when it's like, this straight, cis, heterosexual, that's the same as straight, man, can't walk in heels. And they're like, what am I gonna, like, no fucking shit, he can't walk in your 6-inch heels his first try.
It's also just like, ugh.
But.
Boring.
The Rusical episode.
Rusical episode. Boring. Jesus. I like the skits they do, or like the.
I don't even love the acting challenges.
The acting challenges are
depends
funny
on
sometimes.
It. You know what I like on US? I like the marketing challenge, mm-hmm. the brand challenge. I think it's always funny. Snatch Game, the ball. I don't love the finale episode.
I love the roast.
Yeah, the roast is usually good.
Yeah, finale episode's always
when they
stupid.
Do a remix of a RuPaul song.
Yeah,
like
RuPaul. Come on.
Also, Australia, 2 episodes ago, they lip-synced, and I don't think I've seen this since very early U.S. seasons.
Uh-huh.
Correct me if I'm wrong, people out there. They lip-synced to a RuPaul song.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh my God, RuPaul. Like, you really picked a song by yourself? Fuck
That's
off.
That's so funny.
Fuck right off.
How old is RuPaul? Hey, Siri, how old is RuPaul?
Why are you shouting at her?
He's a guy. 60 years old. Oh, he's only 60? I literally thought he was 75. Because I was like, he's getting like extremely old, right? Like he's probably getting sick tired of putting on drag.
Well, he's known to say that he doesn't love getting in drag anymore, and he only does it for the show or if he's getting paid like mad money. Like he had his Netflix series, obviously he'll be in drag for that.
He has a Netflix series?
Yeah, like a fictional scripted show. What? AJ and the Queen.
Oh.
Only had one season. I actually liked it. It was very corny and kind of bad, so I get why it was canceled, but it was kind of so bad it was good.
Netflix series used to be, like, when the first two started, or the first three were Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, BoJack Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
All those shows, extremely
so
different.
Good.
Like, I love House of Cards. That's probably one of my favorite political dramas ever. BoJack Horseman makes me want to, I don't know, both kill myself and never die because of the existential threat it poses.
Wow.
Love that show. And I mean, Orange is the New Black, I stopped watching, so I can't say
I
much
love
about it.
Orange is the New Black.
But the first few seasons were definitely fun, and it was sad and fun and silly.
No, yeah, now Netflix pumps out so many shows, I'm like, holy, what the fuck
is this? I know, and some of the movies they pump out too.
So bad.
Mm. Some of them are great! Can't think of one off the top of my head.
That's a bad sign. Anyways, RuPaul is a Netflix show. Five queens you love. No particular
okay,
order.
You're You're making the list bigger. And I'm trying to... It's a lot to choose from. I like Trixie. I like Katya. Alaska. Jinx. I just like the really silly ones. Not Alyssa Edwards. I don't think she's that funny. I like all of them. It's, oh, you know who I really liked? Heidi in Closet.
Yeah, she's sweet. I like Bianca. Met her. Sweet woman's. Bob, the drag queen. I love and adore dearly.
Purse first.
I love Shangela. Then she went to Mexico during a pandemic, but... Anyways, I love Katya. I love Nina West. Me just naming so many. I love Alaska. I love Detox.
Even though
they were big bitches on season 5, I loved them on the Oscars.
I don't understand why everyone hates the bitches. Like, I'm sorry, no. But it's more fun.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's something that I've noticed on the last few seasons too. Like, there are some fights, but they're so watered down.
And they're so short
and like always have a resolution. Back in the day, these queens used to fucking rip each other apart.
Yeah, I want
and
you
not apologize. Okay. I want someone to accuse Shangela of having a sugar daddy.
Yeah,
like those are the best. I want Laganja to talk about how she feels so attacked right now. Like, oh, I, those are God, the those Laganja. Moments are crazy and they're so good. And I miss that drama.
Yeah, that was fun.
The show is now so like, we're sisters, we stand together.
Yeah, that's gay.
Yeah.
Gay.
Yeah, so I need more fights. Like, you didn't see season 13. There was a fight, lasted like 5 seconds. Don't apologize to each other. Insult each other more. Hate each other. Love each other off the show. Hate each other on my television.
Real Housewives, that place. You know what
Literally,
I mean?
It's reality TV at the end of the day.
Woo! Like, we want conflict. Anyways, do your best tongue pop.
I can't do a tongue pop. I'm going to amplify it so it sounds better.
You can just use mine.
You're good at tongue pops.
You know why? Because when I watched season 8, I practiced every time I'd watch it. Because they'd always be like...
Oh, I love Manila Luzon. I love Naomi Smalls. Mm. I love Kimchi. I could go on. Drag Race, great show.
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, we talk about this with Nina West, but I want to get your opinion on just the controversy of it all.
Oh, just the inclusion and diversity of the cast?
Well, more so after season 9, RuPaul's comments about, because Peppermint came out as trans, a trans woman, and RuPaul said if she had transitioned before the show, he wouldn't have cast her.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that created all the crazy backlash, even all the queens from the show speaking out, being like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, I think, started the conversation about how Drag Race presents drag.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it is, usually one version of drag.
I do think, yeah, Drag Race, and I think this is something Nina talked about too. The show is definitely a filtered version of what drag is in the real world.
Yeah.
And like in the, I guess... Like, what she said is, you know, it's not really meant to try to show all facets of it, because I think that's almost not conducive to the format of, like, a competition show, I guess.
A show is only so big, only has so much time, yeah. Right? Like,
but I do also think it's, you know, the more that they can include, like, new types of drag and include, and, like, show more parts of it so that people who otherwise wouldn't be exposed to it can be exposed to it, I think is great. So,
yeah.
I think the show is going in a better direction overall.
Yeah, and we talk about that with Nina.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, we can't. Spoiler alert. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I just think Drag Race is overall a great show.
The way you said no was so... mean. I think it's actually gonna
You're gonna cry, you little fucking bitch. Oh my god, Jesus.
What do you want me to not yell in the
editing? Liam, don't yell more. Oh my god.
People's I'm gonna damage my
eardrums. You're gonna damage people's fucking eardrums.
Yeah.
Just kidding, because I edit all your levels and it takes me a long time.
Well, don't let them hear.
I will not subject the people to your screams.
It's a podcast, okay?
Anyways, coming up.
Our interview with Mother Effin Nina, Mother Effin West, Mother Effa.
Thank you. Stay tuned. Yep. We'll be back in a second after these short commercials. Nina West is an American drag queen, actor, and singer-songwriter based in Columbus, Ohio. She rose to national prominence in 2019 with her appearance on VH1's Emmy-winning show RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11, where she placed 6th and won Miss Congeniality. On November 8th, 2019, she released her first Christmas EP, The West Christmas Ever, featuring Disney legend Jim Cummings, which debuted at number 5 on the Billboard comedy charts. Nina West has been performing around the world for the last 18 years doing drag. In 2008, she won the Entertainer of the Year Award and was included in Columbus Business First 40 Under 40 list in 2018 and 2019. Nina is an LGBTQ advocate and has raised over $4 million for charitable causes in the last decade alone through her charitable foundation, the Nina West Foundation.
Please welcome Nina West to the podcast.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're super excited.
Sorry, my room is a mess, so I'm trying to keep it up like this.
I mean, it's a podcast, so the nice part is it's audio only. We never have to look good or anything.
Okay, good.
We're going to talk about mostly, obviously, about Drag Race today. I think.
Oh, my God. What is that?
Yeah, who's that?
We'll just dive in because I know you have a busy schedule. I wanted to ask you about auditioning for the show because I know I find it crazy that I think you did it 9 times. So I just wanted to talk to you about what was different about that 9th time.
It's what that follows me, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's the curse, right? She auditioned 9 times. Finally, they had to let her on. You know, for me, I think it was finally just being myself. I think that Drag Race requires you, when you're auditioning, it is a really long, arduous process. And so you get the questionnaire and then that gets sent in. And then you have like kind of your checklist of all the things you have to do for your video audition. And it, over the years, it became a lot more intensive and it became a lot more, I think, stressful and difficult. But over the years, I also figured out, like every time, like in the first few seasons, I was like, oh, this is what they're looking for. I'll give them that in an audition. You know, because I was used to doing auditions where you give them, like, so you read sides or you audition for a play or a musical and you're auditioning for a character or a role. So I thought, oh, this is kind of what they want. You know, so I'd see who won the previous season and I'd be like, oh, they're looking for that. Okay, let me just try to, you know, adopt that and put that forth in my audition tape. And so I was giving them everything other than myself. And then season 11, the 9th time I auditioned, it was the most authentic I was. It was the most grounded I was. It was the most, I think, vulnerable I was. And I was still also the most accomplished. Like I had learned how to sew, finally. Not good, but I did learn how to sew and I was able to demonstrate that in my tape. I had, you know, like I had grown a lot. And I also think your time is your time. I happen to be older. So I happen to be around for 9 audition seasons. And, you know, there are queens who have auditioned 7 times, you know, who've been around, or, and some people only once, you know, like it's just, your time is your time. And my time was, thankfully, when it was, I think I was on when I was the most ready, you know, the most emotionally prepared and the most capable of dealing with everything that comes with Drag Race. So it was, I think it was a big mix of everything was at stake. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. It always makes it so much sweeter, I think, when like these super fans get on the show too, and you know that they've been trying to get on the show, because I think it comes off that they appreciate it so much more.
I mean, I love the show. I really, really, really love the show. And so when I finally got, I mean, like, you want to talk about like really surreal moments is walking into the workroom for the very first time, or even like really never really being able to fully encapsulate explaining it to anybody. But there's a hallway that goes down that you see, and you see a hallway and it's got supplies on the left hand side, like sewing supplies and stuff you would need for challenges, which and then you see at the end of the hallway the glowing neon light work sign, and then you see it turns right into the workroom. And I'll never forget being positioned right at the end of that hallway and the producer saying, okay, we're going to count you down in 3, 2, go. And I'm like this. I mean, that moment will forever be etched into my memory of like, my whole life is changing. My whole life is changing. My whole life is changing. My life is changing. And then you turn to the worker and you're like, oh my God, like it's so overwhelming. It's so awesome.
You're giving me anxiety just like describing it. I'm like, oh my God.
It's like, there's nothing that like, I don't know if I've ever had an experience quite like that where I've seen it so many times on TV. And I was like, it's so surreal. And it feels like you feel like out of body almost. And then it's like, you got to pull it together. You've got to be present. You were about to turn the corner. And then you're thinking, what am I saying? Oh my God, what am I saying? Is that what I'm going to say? Is that funny enough? Is that good enough? Is that going to be memorable? Oh my God, oh my God. And then you turn. And like in my experience was I turned and I walked into the workroom. And they said, okay, there's a mark. You're going to stop. You're going to hit the mark. You're going to say what you're going to say. And you're going to turn and you're going to go over to the other girls if there are any in the room. And I was like, okay. So I thought just by the way the room was lit, I thought there was a table of queens sitting there when I walked in. And so I'm like, yeah. And I turned and I was like, there's actually nobody in here. Little did I know Vanjie was hidden behind the partition. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was really surreal.
I mean, on that note, I'm kind of curious about, I guess, what was your like favorite moment of being on the show? And then what was the moment that you really hated the most?
The moment my favorite moment on the show is probably, winning the Britney challenge episode 3 was a pretty big moment for me because I felt like that was a turning point for me in the competition. It was like, right, I'm here to do something. I can do this. I am capable. Like I felt like I was starting to begin like a change in my own story or narrative on the show.
Yeah.
So that felt really good. My least favorite moment, obviously, is going home.
Yeah.
But there is a story to that. Like when I was when I walked off stage, like this is the truth. I was eliminated. I'm crying. I say my line. I turn to walk off and I'm walking down the steps and I turn the corner and one of the producers goes, No, there's the Untucked camera crew wasn't there. We have to have you go back up and we have to have you walk off stage again. And I was like, what? And I'm like sobbing. I'm like a mess. And so I went back up on stage and I walked back out on the runway and the queens were in either pocket on either side of the runway and the judges were talking. They're waiting for me to clear set before they kind of dismiss everybody.
Yeah.
And I walk back on stage and RuPaul looks up and looks confused and like what's going on? And the other queens look at me and they're like, what's going on? And Silky sees me and starts crying again. and they're like, okay, we need you to do this again. And they turn and I walk out and I'm like, just like, I can't believe this is happening. So like, I have to walk off again. And I'm crying. And they're like, oh, we just didn't get it. I was like, I'm sorry. I can't do this again. Like, I'm done. I want to get off stat prepare to leave the show. Like,
that's crazy.
So like, so that moment for me was like the roughest part, but being sent home was really bittersweet for me because, and I've never shared this, but when I was eliminated, the crew gave me a standing ovation. The girls gave me an ovation and it was like, it was really like, and it was a moment that it was really, really probably the most important moment of my journey because it felt like I had done. Yeah, it sucked that I was being sent home, but I felt like I had done what I was supposed to do and like, you know, kind of show up and be myself and be present and, you know, make impact on people around me that I was engaging with every day and just try to put my best foot forward. Like that's anything and everything we ever want to do in our daily lives. And I was just trying to do that. And I felt like I did that when I left, even though I really wanted to be in the top five because it was the Todd Rick episode. And I really wanted to be on the, you know, he was like, yeah. I really want to be in the top five, but it didn't happen. So.
Aw, that is sweet that you got to, it's like you said, must be really bittersweet once that happens too.
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, that wasn't the experience for everybody. And so to kind of have that reaction from people that really grew to love. Like, I mean, I'm not like, I'm the kind of person when I walk in and like in a working situation, like a filming of a TV show like Drag Race, it's like, you know, I'm saying hi to the producers. I'm saying hi to all the, you know, like the PAs and like the sound engineers and the techs. And like, it's just who I am. I just want to engage with people and say hello to people. And I didn't know, like my intention was only to be friendly. And I didn't know that that had manifested itself into something a lot greater. And it was a really incredible moment.
Well, how was coming back for season 13?
Queen. I mean, come on. That was, that was the best. You know, I'm really proud of my relationship with World of Wonder. And I'm proud of the fact that I'm really proud to be asked back and be included in, you know, that mixture of girls. Heidi is incredible. Valentina is really epic and legendary. And to sit there and, you know, I'm not one who likes, I generally and genuinely would shy away from a roast. Like, it's just not something I'm into. Like, I don't want to like read people or,
yeah,
you know, like, I want to, you know, whatever, you know, but when they told me, like, hey, you're going to do the roast episode, I was like, Okay. But we had done, I did Celebrity Drag Race with Dustin Milligan and we had kind of gone really well. And I was like, okay, we'll just try it again. Sure. So I just felt really honored to be back. But, you know, it was a whole different experience of filming Drag Race in COVID. And I'm really glad I got to experience that because it was one of the only things I did at all during the pandemic. Yeah. Was travel to Los Angeles, you know, really quietly quarantined myself for 2 weeks in a hotel, waited to go to set, did all of the COVID tests, did all, you know, and like then got to set and got to engage with other people. So it was like, it was like serving multiple purposes because I had a very small bubble mm-hmm. at home. And here I was getting to engage with, you know, six new yeah. drag queens and a couple of the judges again, Valentina and Heidi. I got to meet Heidi for the first time when I got to go back, you know, like it was great. And yeah. it was, and you know, like say what you want about that episode. It was a painful go. Those queens all were deserving of that spot in the competition. And I mean, I think 13 is a pretty epic season. So I'm really glad to yeah. be included.
It was a strong season.
Yeah.
It was a long season, but it was a strong
queen.
Season.
I auditioned for Drag Race 9 more times during that season.
Yeah. Right?
I'm a little curious about just like your experience on the show, like actually getting to know the judges. Like how much time do you spend with them where you actually get to like interact? Like, do you really get to know RuPaul as a person?
The show is not set up that way, right? So the yeah. show is set up to, it really does put distance between you, the judges, and the other contestants. So you're not like, we're not necessarily all palling around when the cameras are down because we're not really allowed to. So, and our interactions with the judges are at minimal because they don't want the competition to seem, I think, showing favoritism or kind of a shadowed towards anyone, yeah. any contestant. I personally didn't take any offense to that. I mean, I know that there are other entertainers who've done the show and I've heard those interviews where people are like, well, you know, you don't interact and, you know, and I didn't go there to become friends with RuPaul. Yeah, you yeah. know, I went there to compete on her show and make her proud. So like, she's not there to be my friend. She's not there to, mm-hmm. you know, she's there to encourage me as a contestant. She's there to judge me and she's there to hopefully reward me.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think the relationship should ever be anything different because then it changes the magic of the show. Because yeah. Those table moments are so authentic. You know, when she's engaging, like on my season, when she engaged with Plastique and Plastique started crying, that was a very real moment, you know, and I don't yeah. know if it would have happened because we had, regardless of whatever emotional moment was occurring, that was affected by the conversation, the environment, or the conditions with which you are a contestant on the show. Cause that's a lot of, it's all of it is a lot. It's a lot of pressure. It's, you're going through a lot of emotional feelings. You're going through, we're having feelings. So those table moments become all the more heightened and all the yeah. more special. And so when RuPaul does come around and you do interact with RuPaul, those moments matter. And they matter to the contestants, regardless of how they, like, you can see those epic moments of when Pearl and Rue get into that fight, you know, and
yeah.
they have that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh, not a fight, but an exchange of words, because that's not really a fight. It's an exchange of words.
Yeah.
But even then, it's heightened because there's very little interaction. So it's all very heightened. When you have a moment with Rue and she's laughing, like Utica, completely, you know, doing all those faces and she's laughing at everything you're doing, you're like, I get that because you're like, oh God, I'm on fire. I'm having a moment with RuPaul. And like, it just becomes a very different meaning. And that's what it's about. So I was, you know, again, I wasn't there to make friends with her, you know, and I'm lucky enough to have gotten to know him and have conversations with him after the show. And that's more important to me than, oh, well, did he say hello to me when I walked by on set?
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's about.
Yeah. I mean, me. I feel like that's pretty normal for these types of competitions. Like, to have separate
Simon kids. Cowell. Yeah. Simon Cowell is not engaging with yeah. contestants. Or no. That's probably a dated reference. So sorry. I mean, Nicole Scherzinger, like Masked Singer, for example, like they don't know who's behind those masks. They're not engaging with those people because yeah. it takes away from the competition. It takes away from why people are there and investing their time. You know, like yeah, mm-hmm. it's a different breed. It's a reality competition show. So Jeff Probst is not interacting with people on Survivor. Nope. You know, I mean, that's not happening. Like
yeah.
the time he interacts with them is at the challenge and yeah. and that's it. You know, in Tribal Council, like that's it.
No, for same, sure.
You know, so why should Ruby held to a different standard? Yeah.
Yeah. But I wanted to, going back to season 13, it was kind of a historic season with the first trans man being on the show. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, because obviously the show has gotten some heat over the years for how it presents drag and what kind of drag can be on the show. So how do you feel about that moving forward? Do you feel like it's going to expand? What do you think?
I think, having done drag for 20 years, I know that drag is very, very diverse.
Yeah.
And the only thing, I have no idea what the intentions are for the producers of Drag Race. Mm-hmm. I think it's a tremendous step forward that Mick was on the show. I think it's remarkable. I think it's overdue. I also think that if people really want to experience the world of drag, it exists far beyond their television, and it exists locally in the wild in your communities. Mm-hmm. And you need to see what pulse and what life your drag community has in your area to really understand the full expression of drag. I don't know where Drag Race will be in 5 years, if it will have, and I hope it does have the widest and fullest composition of what makes up a true drag community.
Yeah.
That being said, RuPaul's Drag Race is an incredible show, a competition show for entertainment. And it never has been a full brush stroke of our community. Mm-hmm. Drag community or otherwise. So it provides great representation for a lot of people who've never been exposed to this, for people who have lived, eat, breathe in an LGBTQIA+ community. You know, there, I think there is an understanding that that's just not all, it's not all of it. It's one aspect of it. And that's, yeah. I don't know if it's, I'm not here to put the weight on producers to say you have to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's their show, you know, I'm not here to tell them what is and what isn't their show. But what I can do as an advocate for our community is say, you have great drag in your own backyard, and it looks very different than Drag Race, and you should expose yourself to it.
Yeah, I feel like that's the tough thing with Drag Race. It always frustrates me when I speak to fans who have only seen the show and they've never mm-hmm. gone out and seen a drag show. Like, some of the drag shows I've been to have been crazy and mm-hmm. beautiful mm-hmm. and like things you would probably would not get the green light on television, but like,
oh, definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you have to explore it beyond the show, but I don't think it's fair to take away what the show has done at the same time.
Well, I think it's a tough conversation because I don't think the show is groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But it can't stop where it's at. That is my opinion. I think the show has a lot more work to do. So yeah. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. I think the show has done great work. The show can't be antiquated in its work, and it must move forward. And it must be, I think, to be fully inclusive, it has to open its contestant pool.
For sure. That's very well said. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I want to know, because I know that you're on a lot of people's wish list for All Stars. Would you do it? Would you do it?
Yeah, I would. I would. I absolutely would. I think, all truth be told, season 6 of All Stars came around. I was asked. I had a member of my family. This was during COVID. And so I opted to, because I live in Columbus, Ohio. So, and so do my parents. And so I took the opportunity to be present and around, so I could best take care of things here. So hopefully it comes back to me. You know, I can only deal with what's in front of me at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I did my best to, I think, be respectful of my friends at World of Wonder and be a good son and be a present family member. And so, you know, everything was kind of happening at a time period and where it brought me home, and I've been grounded for the last year. So I was able to deal with some of those things and be able to reprioritize a little bit. And so that work has made me a better person and a full picture and a full scope of things. So hopefully the ask will come back.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, how, now that we're kind of at the end of, well, not the end, but nearing the end of this COVID shit show, how do you feel like it's changed you now coming out of it, either as a person or as a performer too?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I am really like, I go out to my first gig this weekend, and
exciting.
But I'm a little nervous. I've got some COVID anxiety, right? Like, I have barely left my house. I have had an intentionally very small bubble. I've had very, like, I have not performed on a stage. I have done more virtual shows than I can count. Bingos, corporate events, like college, university shows. I mean, I've done more virtual shows than I can count. I've also become very comfortable, and that's what makes me nervous. So I'm really excited to get back on the road. I'm really excited to flex these muscles again of being on stage, being in front of a live audience, and reminding myself of how drag is like drag happens in person. Drag is better live. Drag is an art form that requires an audience. It is interactive. It is collaborative. It's kind of the root of it all. And so, like, I'm excited to get back to actually really doing my job this weekend.
Yeah,
but I have anxiety. I'm not gonna lie, I have a lot of anxiety about it. I'm like,
you'll be great.
It's gonna be fine. I'm vaccinated. Like, it has nothing to do with anything other than I just haven't done it. No, 14 months. Yeah.
It's like riding a bike. Like,
yeah, I'm
that's
sure
what they say. I don't believe it. I don't know.
Well, we have faith. We have faith in you.
Thanks, guys.
I really, really miss drag shows. Like,
me too.
So much. And we're up in Canada, we're quite locked down here. Not a lot
yeah
of
you are
yeah so
yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate, okay. But
perform that this weekend.
Yeah, do that.
They'll be like, I'll be going to Florida and they'll be like, why are you doing the Canadian national anthem? I'm like, why not? Oh my god, I have to say this. So I just did, Priyanka's doing this show on
World of Wonder
Plus, Wow Plus Presents, Wow Presents Plus. That's it. And it's called What's My Game? And one of the questions she asked was, what's the capital of Canada? And I was so thrown. And I have been to Canada.
I saw this clip.
I was so thrown. And Dustin, who was my partner on the show, who was my partner on Celebrity Drag Race, is Canadian. And I just like choked and I got so nervous. I know it's Ottawa. I've been to Ottawa. I've been to the parliament. Like, I knew. And I like, literally, I'm like, I like had, I just got lost. And I said Toronto. And then I said Montreal, which it was the first, I was just like, just name any big city in Canada. Big city in Canada. I was like losing my mind. So I apologize to all Canadians. I apologize. I know better.
I've heard people say Ontario, and then it's like, okay.
Yeah, at least you didn't say a province.
I didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, we just don't know. We're so centric. And we're
that's
so
fair. That's fair.
I apologize. No, like, I'm so embarrassed. I am so embarrassed by it. Like, the clip, I'm so embarrassed by it.
We forgive you on behalf of Canada. Yeah. So. Oh,
thank you. Thanks, Chase.
You can sleep at night again.
Oh, my God. It's really, I saw the clip come out last week. I go, oh, my God, I forgot about this. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I guess it's the worst part about having something like pre-recorded and then you see it months later and you're like, oh my god, I forgot I did this.
I completely forgot about it. Like, legitimately was like, oh yeah, I know that's coming out. I don't remember what I said, whatever. And then it's like, oh my god, I didn't know the capital of Canada. Terrible.
It's okay.
You're forgiven. We'd love to hear about your partnership with Lane Bryant, though. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my god, thanks for asking. I'm partnering with Lane Bryant is a plus size brand for women that's based in Columbus, Ohio, where I live, and they have me serving as their model. I'm a model.
Oh,
I'm a
fashion
for their pride campaign of 2021, which is called Say It With Pride. And so, I mean, it's kind of cool to be, it's interesting. I think, you know, one of the things that people say is like, oh, well, why would a drag queen be, you know, kind of a spokesperson for a pride brand, a plus size women's brand for pride? You know, why would, you know, why a drag queen? And I think, first of all, I'm a big dude, A. B, I think drag queens help remind people, all people, that there's a really kind of a wonderful, like, we as queens are like, as creatures, drag queens, we exude confidence, you know, on stage. We kind of exist in a world where, you know, we're just overly confident. And what a better way to help spread kind of self-love and body positivity than encouraging women to feel beautiful and sexy and confident in their bodies and like, that's my goal, you know, as in this partnership and in this relationship with Lane Bryant, is to like encourage women to like not only like be pride filled and celebrate pride, but like feel like really great in their skin and like love themselves.
Well, that's so amazing. Exciting. We love to hear that. And I'm so excited for June. I need something to, you know, keep me cheery.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be different this year, but it's like here in the States, it feels like it's really ramping back to normal pretty quickly.
I know. I hate you all.
I mean, it's nuts. It does not feel real. Like, it's like, oh, we just got word. We don't need masks anymore if you're vaccinated. I'm like, what? Like that? I'm vaccinated.
Crazy.
I still want to wear a mask just because I feel like I need to. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah. I just want to say I'm so happy that you are as nice as you appeared on television.
Yes.
Thanks. I don't know how else to be.
That's good. I will say I've met a couple Rue girls. I've never met a mean one. So.
Oh. Well, that's I never have either. Honestly, there's something about the experience that really does, I think, humble you. It is really big, you know, and your life explodes so quickly in such a short period of time that you're like, oh, I've watched previous seasons. I've watched these girls have this success. I have an idea of what that's like. And then it happens to you and you're like, I have no idea that it was like this. And I think it's humbling to like be able to just take a step back and look at like these great gifts that the show gives you and just be like, I am really grateful. I'm grateful to be able to sit down and talk to you and that you even care about what I have to say. You know what I mean?
It's, you're like, grateful.
I mean, like, I mean, it's kind of nuts to me. It's like, why does anyone want to hear me drone on for how long have we been talking this long? And you know what I mean? And I just, it's, I think, and so back to your point, like, I do think that so many of the queens from the show, I think there's so many of us who just feel really lucky that we've got chosen to be a part of this, because it could be anybody, and it's hard to get to the show, and it's even harder to, I think, and to understand the scope of it. And so it's just, I don't know, it's pretty incredible.
Wow.
Well, thanks. So thank you.
Thank you. Honestly.
Yeah, thank you for being here. This is crazy.
Oh my God. No, I'm really grateful. Ottawa. Ottawa's the capital.
Ottawa. That's what we'll title the episode. Nina West knows the capital of Canada.
Yeah.
And listen, I love poutine. Like, this is like, I know these things. I've had Canadian bacon. I've been to Calgary 3 times. I know.
I haven't even been to Calgary 3 times.
I mean, like, yeah, I know. It's what an embarrassment.
Well, that was really awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and just joining us for a little while. Well, that was
no, thanks so for great. Having me.
We'll have all thanks of your links, the yes. links to the Lane Bryant collab, all of that in the episode description. So
thank you so much. So
thank you. You have a great
and
rest of your day.
Good
too.
Luck with your gig this weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. Stay safe. And hopefully when this is all over, I'll get to see you in person.
For sure.
Bye.
That was amazing.
That was awesome.
Awesome. That was seriously awesome, though.
Yeah, I am saying that was awesome.
Like, think, like, Nina West
that
on our show.
That was honestly kind of crazy, yeah.
Nina West on our show.
We just talked to Nina West.
Davey Wavy on our show. Nina West on our show.
Who's next? Who's Ian next? McKellen.
Is he alive?
Yeah. Sir Ian McKellen?
He's got to be 108.
He's gay.
I know.
So he lives forever.
Is that what happens? I don't want to live forever. Anyway, song of the week.
Oh my God, I didn't even choose one yet. I think your song of the week is not on Spotify anymore.
Face Shopping Monster. Uh-huh. That wasn't mine. I thought that was yours.
No, it's not going to be mine, but it's off Spotify.
Really?
Yeah. They
I just me. Liked it.
I know.
Fuck you, Spotify. Fuck you. My song of the week, and I should preface this by saying that my music taste is usually pretty mainstream, and if you didn't know me, you'd think it was a teenage girl's. So my song of the week is the new Olivia Rodrigo song.
Oh my fucking God.
Good for you.
Go fuck off.
It's good.
Go fuck off.
It's good. I love an angry song. I love a woman scorned type of vibe. And it reminds me of, do you know Misery
TikTok?
Business? Misery Business by Paramore?
No.
Okay, so Liam doesn't know Misery Business, but for people out there who were going through something in their youth, you will know Misery Business, and it reminds me of that, which makes me feel like
11-year-old scene kid me. Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing?
I don't know.
Maybe I shouldn't listen to the song.
I don't know.
But that's my song of the week. I stand by it, and I don't accept any judgment or bullying.
My song of the week, I'm going to go a route. I'm going to take a song of the week that I've had kind of on the back burner because it's just a song I really enjoy. And it's always been kind of just a great song, but I never really chose it for Song of the Week, and I always knew I wanted to, so this is the week I'll choose it. And it's Intro by the XX. Really like that song.
I don't think I've heard it.
Yes, you have.
Have I?
It was like the big, their big
Tumblr song.
Yeah. And it's just like the guitar. It's like...
Oh, there's no singing?
They kind of hum.
Oh.
It's a part where they hum, where they're like... I'll just play it.
Feels like just kind of a weak song of the week week overall. Weak song of the week week.
Honestly, no, this is a great song. It gives me summer vibes. We're going into summer.
Yeah. Anyways, you can find us on Instagram or Twitter at Two Servings Pod.
Yeah.
You can find out more information about us on twoservingspod.com. You can email us twoservingspod@gmail.com. Yeah. Please leave us a review in the Apple Podcast.
Please.
Liam,
what?
All you have to do is sit there and shut the fuck up.
That's
your only job.
I can't do that.
Please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps.
Please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Please go on Google Reviews.
We are not on
Give
Google.
Us a 5-star review on Google Reviews.
I will say we are planning a giveaway. So if you want to be a part of that, go to our website.
If you want to be given items, you better hurry up. All you have to do is answer one simple skill testing question.
What is it?
It is the hardest math question I can find.
I need a nap. So we're going to end here. I'll see you all on the next episode.
It's a podcast. You can't see them.
Jesus.
We actually do this podcast with masks over our eyes. We can't see anything. I'm completely blind.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, babies.